Christ spoke those words, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, not meaning that it's coming at us. No, we're advancing the kingdom of God into strongholds. Even when you think of the Mian people and their worship of idols and how that has been broken and the gospel has gotten in there. Powerful witness of Acts, despite mega persecution, continued from Pentecost. And, you know, the book of Acts doesn't really end. It continues even today. This is some pictures so just to remind us of how the gospel continues to advance. Last time we looked in chapter 9 of Acts how God got a hold of Saul and made him an apostle. That was the greatest, if you got instigator against the church. He was a terrorist, arresting people and imprisoning them with the hope that they could stop the gospel. But it didn't work that way. Instead, Christ grabbed him, got a hold of him, and changed his life and sent him down to Tarsus after he was persecuted in Damascus and Jerusalem. And he's going to hang out there for 8 years, but now when we come to chapter 9, 32 through 43, the focus is on the Apostle Peter. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me as we work through that in Acts 9, 32 through 43. And I've entitled this sermon, Rise Up. And the reason I did that is because it's going to involve two people. One is Ananias. He's going to be raised from a sickbed. And the other is Dorcas, and she's going to be raised from her deathbed. So let's look at Ananias first. Now, as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. And there he found a man named Ananias, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Ananias, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he rose, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Peter lives and is based in Jerusalem. Everybody was scattered out of Jerusalem when this mega persecution happened, except who? The apostles. I thought that was strange when I read that. You know, just the apostles hung out there. I would think they would be the ones they want to kill, but no, the apostles somehow managed to survive in Jerusalem, but everybody else was scattered. So Paul comes down from Jerusalem. That doesn't mean he's coming from the north down south, but no, that means he's coming from a place of elevation, and that's where Jerusalem set up. It was a place of higher elevation. So he's coming down and to check on and see what is going on with the spread of the gospel. How are the believers doing, those who have been scattered due to this persecution? But notice it says he came down also to the saints. Scripture speaks of believers, of brothers and sisters, of disciples, but it also uses this word every now and then called saints. We don't have to wait till we die to be saints. You know how to become a saint? Sandy, I think, was saying over here, just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, why don't we interrupt again the sermon and say hello to your neighbor. If you know your neighbor, it's St. Wendy, and that's St. Oni. Say hello, saints. Saints, say hello, saint. You know, St. Xiaoning, good morning. St. Martin Liu, good morning, good. Yeah, you don't like that? Hey, that's who you are. You are holy and complete. Why? Because the Holy One died for you, and your faith is not in your works, but your faith is in the Christ who's risen from the dead. That is where your holiness comes from, and we are saints. Check out 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2 there, and you'll see how Paul addressed the Corinthians. Oh man, they had a bunch of problems at Corinth. Church full of divisions and all kinds of issues and problems, but yet he addresses those believers as saints. So you don't have to try and live a great life and then you die and 100 years later the church decides you're a saint. No, that's not the way it works. You in Christ, you're holy and acceptable before the Almighty God. You are a saint. So he went to visit the saints who lived at Lydda. Lydda means city of strife. I can't make too much out of that, but that's what the word means, Lydda. I had an uncle, not quite an uncle. He was my uncle's brother's stepbrother kind of guy. And anyway, his name was Lida. Any Lidas out here? I don't think any Lidas are here today. But Lida means strife. Well, there he found a man named Aeneas down in this city of Lida. He found a man. How many of you found a man this past week? Maybe if you're single, you're looking for that man, you know. And when you find him, you're going to be happy, right? Was he intentionally looking for a man? I don't know. The Greek word could mean, you know, he stumbled across, he came across, that kind of thing. He found someone, he met someone. So it doesn't mean there's actual intention. We'll have to ask Peter, and when we go to heaven, were you looking for someone that day that you went down to Lydda? But he found this guy, and this guy was bedridden for 8 years. He's paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you, rise up, make your bed. And immediately he rose, and all the residents. Now, we're not all the residents of DB. We're talking about all the residents of Lydda and this place, this plain, this level place where the pasture land between the two cities of Lydda and Joppa, which is on the coast. This plain area is called Sharon. And so Sharon and Lydda, all the residents turned to the Lord. That means they worship the Lord because of this person. I don't know how influential he was, but evidently they saw this miracle and it enabled them to turn to the Lord to worship, to return to God, to understand that it's Jesus, the Christ, who is to be believed and followed. I don't think this adequately depicts what happened, okay? But how many of you used to get up? I know my background as a kid. Maybe you do this for your children. I don't know how it works with having a domestic helper. We had people, when I grew up, they would come and help, but just part-time helper. But they weren't there in the mornings. But it was our responsibility as children. When you got out of bed, make your bed, take your shower, eat your breakfast, go to school. We're regimented. And you made your bed, you know. And you got everything. And then you went. I don't know how it works in your house. But when I saw this scripture as a kid, I thought, you know, the guy has to go make his bed. I mean, what's he making his bed for, you know? And I'm just picturing, you know, putting the pillow, tucking it right and all that. But no. It's more like kind of like this, you know, just get your bed, fold it up and walk, get out of here. I mean, you're not going to be there any more years. When I get the flu, it usually hits me pretty hard and I'm in bed for about 24 hours. Then I shake it off and I can face the world. But if you've ever had prolonged illness, you know how it gets old when you're just bedridden. My mom's last 3 months, she was bedridden. And it was emotionally distraught for me to see her bedridden, not able to even get up and sit in a chair. So this man was bedridden for 8 years, but just simple words, Jesus Christ heals you. Not Peter heals you. No, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And that's what happened. Now, the next story is about Dorcas. Any Tabithas or Dorcas here? Why are you laughing at it? It could be. There's none here? We got a good friend named Dorcas. Dorcas Ko. That's a good Singaporean name. Dorcas Ko. And anyway, it's a beautiful name. I think I would consider that if I was going to have another daughter. Ruth's shaking her head. No way. Ruth's got a good friend named Tabitha, right? You got a good friend. And anyway, Dorcas. Now, there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. And she was full of good works and acts of charity. And in those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay. In 1973, I worked for a summer camp in the mountains of North Carolina as a what we call this, a marksman. I taught people how to shoot a rifle, and I taught people how to play tennis. I didn't know how to play tennis. And I was a cabin counselor. But this was Camp, I had to write the name down, let's see, Camp Hemlock for boys and Camp Delwood for girls. And so the girls had their side of the mountain, the boys had their side of the mountain, and then we'd get together in the cafeterias and eat, and we'd have swimming competitions and all kinds of competitions together, you know, mixed up. But they had their own cabins, the boys had their cabins. It was a really fun camp. But Fred Crum, who owned the camp, asked me to preach one Sunday. Now, I'm pretty much a good pagan right at that point. I'd been raised in the church, but you know, I'm not following Christ or interested too much in him. He asked me to preach. This is my sermon came from this text. Have I preached this since 1973? I think so, a few times. But 1973 is my first sermon at Camp Delwood and Camp Hemlock on Dorcas. And I think my emphasis was, be a Dorcas, like a gazelle. That's what the word means. Dorcas and Tabitha means gazelle. Be a gazelle and run around and do good stuff. That's far from the gospel message. But that's what type of lady this person was before her death. Full of what? Of good works and acts of charity. And we'll see in a minute how that applied to her actual sowing. Well, she got sick and she's dead. And they've cleaned her up and got her ready for burial. And they've placed her in this room. And somebody, it seems to me, believes that, yeah, she could be raised from the dead. And if what we're hearing is true, that Peter came and touched this guy over here and raised him from his sick bed of 8 years, who was paralyzed, can he not do this for her? And so they say, come to us without delay. I mean, why? They're afraid they're going to bury her and then they won't have any chance to raise her up? I don't know. But please come without delay. So here's a good map. It shows you where Lydda is. That shows up pretty good. I think you can see the number 2, right to your left. The number 2 is Lydda, and then on the seacoast is Joppa, which is a suburb of Tel Aviv today, known as Jaffa, and it means beautiful. So the city of strife is Lydda, and the city of beauty is Joppa, and in between is Sharon, that plain. For those of you guys who like maps. An artist's rendition of what Dorcas to him would be. Working hard on garments and sharing that handiwork with others. So Peter rose and went with them. He left Lydda and went to Joppa on the coast. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room where Dorcas has been laid. And in that upper room, all the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. Widows. Remember, that's who Philip and Stephen ministered to? And here they're showing, look what she's done, Peter. She was such a beautiful woman. She gave and she worked so hard with her hands. And here, look at all these things she's made for us. And while they're displaying it, there's all this tearing going on, all this weeping. But what does Peter do in verse 40? Peter put them all outside. Okay, out of the room. I'm sorry, get back. You know, maybe he asked them to take their garments too. I don't know. Just please leave me alone, please. And then he kneels down and he prayed. How long he prayed, I don't know, but he prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. The experiences that pastors have, and if you're a physician or a nurse or perhaps involved in hospital work, you too see bodies on the table. And you just can't say, you know, get up. There's only 5 recordings of resurrections, individual resurrections in the New Testament. occasionally you hear from far lands and different places and unreached areas where people have been raised from the dead in the name of Christ. Occasionally. At this point, on this occasion, two people went to get him. He went over there. He tells everybody out of the room, he prays, and then he speaks, "Tabitha, arise." So another artist's rendition of what it must have looked like. And so once he has prayed, he's finished praying, he asks her, "Tabitha, arise." She opened her eyes. Man. And when she saw Peter, she sat up and he gave her his hand and raised her up. And then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. So she responds to his simple call, "Tabitha, arise," and she arises. She's raised from the dead, and then he shows her to the people. Just a side note, Simon the Tanner, I think that's trying to alert us, it's not Simon the Magician, it's Simon the Tanner. And yet, a tanner touched unclean stuff, dead skins from animals. It's basically, he's getting the pelts and the skins and using them for leather goods. But yeah, you can make that kind of thing. But that's who he stayed with for some days, because all these people, many believed in the Lord. Whenever these miracles happen in the New Testament, you'll see, and many people believed in the Lord. They didn't believe in the power of Peter. And it doesn't say that Peter went around raising everybody from the dead, no. He raised one person. But many believed. The gospel advancing with great power. So there he is, taking her hand, and she raises, sits up, and then he presents them, her alive to her friends. Okay, application. We're to go out and heal paraplegics and raise the dead. Okay, we hear the story occasionally. We hear the story. How many of you have raised a person from the dead? It's always dangerous to ask this question because somebody's hand might go up. Mike has done it. Okay. A paraplegic. I mean, somebody who's had their spinal cord snapped and they're paralyzed. I'm not talking about somebody who got their head hit on an injury and something was weird for a while. But I'm talking about somebody who's really had their spinal cord severed. We should still be very compassionate. We should be looking for ways to be involved with bringing healing in ministries, and that's why I put johnnyandfriends.org. If you just type johnnyandfriends.org, Johnny Erickson Tata, who had her neck broken as a young lady and it paralyzed her from her head down. A remarkable individual, but a woman who loves the Lord with all her heart. She's married. Did she have children? Does anybody know? She couldn't have children. But anyway, to make a long story short, Johnny has a compassion, a big heart to reach people who have various physical disability. And if you'd like to be involved in her ministries, I really encourage you to do that. Just look around here in DB, and occasionally you'll see one or two people who have severe disabilities and need to be cared for and loved by not just their parents or their immediate family, but also need a support network. There's many ways to get involved, but heal paralytics and raise the dead. I don't think that's the greatest application from the scripture, but I would think that you should be looking for people to pray for. I have no idea what you plan to do today, you know. I hope to go to the Filipina Fellowship afterwards. I've got a lunch plan, and then a Filipina Fellowship afterwards, and then down to the beach to play volleyball. But while I'm going on this, I don't know. I got to keep these eyes looking for somebody that may need to be prayed for. You know, I had a friend whose brother had a knee operation, and it went sour. And to make a long story short, his heart valve was all messed up. And this guy comes up and he shares a story. Well, that's, man, you don't have to look too far to know who to pray for. I got another friend whose mother has cancer, and she's having surgery tomorrow. And he alerts somebody to pray for. Look for people to pray for and take to Jesus, because he is the one who heals. I think we sang that, didn't we? He is my healer. He is the healer of all diseases. So for sure, look for people to pray for. And maybe you can even pray with them, or encourage them to pray. Peter certainly did that with Aeneas. And then pray for your friends. Your friends are bringing you all kinds of situations to pray for. They're telling you, if they're really a friend, they're going to let you into their life a little bit and open up and say, this is my challenges in life right now.
Yeah.
Pray for your friends. And Dorcas's friends are the one who went to get Peter. Okay? Sometimes it might mean someone you trust in this community of faith. It might mean me. And you say, James, would you come with me and just pray for this person? Pray with me for my friend. I told my friend about you. Would you be open to come and pray? So pray for your friends. All right, look for people to pray for and pray for your friends. But the greatest application, guys, I believe, is get ready to rise up. Okay? Yeah, we're going to get ready to rise up and get out of here, right? The church is going to end up. But what am I talking about? You are going to die. I am going to die. And I am betting my whole life, not on my works, but that there's a Christ who's going to say, get up, James. Welcome home. There's only one way to get ready, and that's to put your faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It all boils down to that, guys. You're going to be touched by the same Jesus who raised Ananias. You're going to be touched by the same Jesus who raised Dorcas. And when that happens, that special resurrection of you, and I can say for me, it's going to be the most personal touch of love and power you could ever imagine. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each man and woman, young person who came to church today, and our children. And Lord, some of these of our friends need your healing touch right now. And you know these people. And two images of, well, it's pictures of two individuals come to my mind. I won't say their names out loud, Lord, but you know the great suffering they're going through. Encourage those people with the truth. Encourage me, encourage my friends here, that you are going to say, rise up. And it's going to be into glory. It's going to be into a feasting with Christ and all the tribes from all over the history. And we're going to see, wow, what a great and glorious God you are. How great is our God. Father, I pray that no one here would leave this place and be not ready. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, work in my friends' hearts. If they need to talk to someone, to me or anyone else here at church today about what does true faith in Christ mean, pray you'd take away their shyness, just that they would be able to talk. Continue to work in all of us, Holy Spirit, that this message of the risen Christ will be on our lips today. Keep us on the lookout for people to pray for today. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.